y'all. Welcome back to the Don't Mom Alone podcast. I'm your host, Heather McFadden, and this is the place where I get to walk alongside you and connect you with people and resources so you know that you don't mom alone. In this episode number 459, I'm bringing to the show my friend, Nadia Luis.
And here's the thing too, suffering and faith can coexist.
Totally.
And I think that's something that not a lot of people have understanding of, that joy, that's the difference between happiness and joy. Is happiness, of course, it's an emotion. You feel it.
Circumstances.
But joy, yeah. It's not dependent on your circumstance. It's dependent on your God.
I hope you all had a wonderful resurrection day. And today's episode is in honor of that because we are people who live on the other side of the resurrection. We serve a God who takes dead things and he brings them to life. And my guest, Nadia Luis, she is sharing her testimony of that. If you find yourself in the middle of brokenness and ruin and you are losing hope, my prayer is that you will find it in Nadia's testimony, because this same God who brought redemption to her story is available to you. We serve a heavenly Father who is in the redemption business. And so Nadia is an influencer on Instagram and YouTube, but she also serves in our church. She's on staff there. And I've just come to have this like really maternal feeling for her. And we met for coffee and I heard more of her story and I was like, you need to come on the podcast. And she graciously said yes. It was her first time to share it on a podcast. She's shared her testimony in other places, but I hope that you are encouraged, if not for your own story, but just a reminder that no matter what our kids walk through, God is the redeemer of their stories as well. And moms, given the content of Nadia's testimony, this is probably an earbud episode if you have little ones around. Also, some of the content could be triggering. All that to say, God is so good. Let's get right to it. Here we go. Nadia, welcome to the Don't Mom Alone podcast.
Thank you.
Oh my goodness. The Lord has crossed our paths through church and we got to chat and I love sharing testimonies of God's faithfulness in people's lives as an encouragement to fellow believers who either that is their story or maybe they have a child walking through a similar story or just anyone really.
Yeah.
To know that God works in miraculous ways is an encouragement to all of us. So we were talking about this phrase that God spoke over you, and I'd love for you to kind of tell the listener what you heard from God and the context of that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sounds great. So when I was 17 years old, I heard the Lord speak to me for the first time. And it was on the way to see my brother's body after he had passed away unexpectedly. I was in the car with my mom and my stepdad, and we were just, as you can imagine, just confused, broken, crying. Like, it was the most unexpected thing in the entire world. And the first thing that I heard the Lord speak to me was, Nadia, it's gonna be okay. And then in that moment, I was able to like to physically sit back in my seat and be like, okay, I don't know what this means or how it's gonna be okay, but I know it's gonna be okay. And then it was in that moment when I was able to catch my breath and really just tune into the Holy Spirit that I heard him speak the words from ruin to redemption over my life.
From ruin to redemption.
Yes. Isn't that so good?
It's so good. So good. You may want to get a tattoo.
I know. I did get a tattoo.
It's right there. Woo! Yeah. From ruin to redemption. Yes.
Yeah. And let me just talk about a little bit of what that means. So what led up to this moment was just a little bit of my story. I have three siblings, but I grew up with one brother who was my only full brother. He was my rock at times, but other times we would fight.
Yeah, like, normal.
Like crazy, like more than most siblings.
Okay.
But I think we kind of had a shared bond because we both grew up under an abusive and narcissistic father. So I think we lacked a lot of understanding of that, and we both had shared trauma of that, especially because we were technically raised in a Christian home. Okay. So we would my parents would take us to church on Sunday mornings, and my dad would take us to church on Sunday mornings, and then we'd get home Sunday afternoon, and then he would just be back to his old abusive, angry, narcissistic self. And as you can imagine, as a child in their developmental years, how confusing that is. So that caused so much chaos. And it was actually right after my dad was being, I still can so visually remember the moment when I was so fearful of my dad one day because he was so angry. And I so vividly remember one day I just did not know how to handle it. Mm-hmm. I didn't know how to cope with it because I was 12.
Yeah.
And one of my best friends struggled with self-harm, and mm-hmm. she showed me her arms, and she talked about it, how it was such a physical release for her. So it was in that moment that I remember what she said to me, how it was such a release for her mentally. So I remember that was the very first time I ever self-harmed, and it caused a 5-6 year long addiction. It was pretty much like all day, every day I would just carry a razor with me, and sometimes it would just be a mindless thing because it became a habit. It was more than addiction, it was a habit at that point, and it was the hardest thing in the world for me to break. And as somebody that grew up in trauma, so much trauma, because not only was my dad abusive to me and my brother, but my mom's house burned down when I was in seventh grade. So I lost everything that I loved because my mom's house was my safe place. So I kept all of my favorite toys, my favorite stuffed animals, my baby blankies, everything. It was all lost in the fire. Mm. So after my house burned down, we moved in with my grandma, who was my absolute rock. She's the one that called CPS on my dad so many times because she was
And is it your mom's mom?
My mom's mom. Okay. Yeah, she was so protective over me. She was everything to me. Anything you'd ask for in a grandma, she was. Mm. And right after we moved in with my grandma, we found out that she had cancer that spread throughout her entire body. And she was given just like, I don't even know if it was a month to live. And she passed away right after we moved in with her.
Mm.
So my life has just been kind of a series of not only traumatic events, but being raised in trauma. So it was that moment that my brother had passed away.
And how old were you then?
I was 17.
So this is 5 years after.
Yes.
After losing your home. And you said your mom's house. So your parents had been divorced?
Yeah.
Okay.
They divorced when I was 3.
Okay.
My mom left him because he was abusive. It was more so with her than us.
So you'd already had from 3 the separation of trying to find home. And then you have, you know, you're 12 and you start self-harm. You lose your grandmother, who's your...
She was my home.
She was your solid, safe, unchanging. Yeah. And then that loss. And so just loss after loss and pain after pain. And then 5 years... After that, you lose your brother.
Yeah, completely unexpectedly. He was 18 at the time. He had a best friend that was addicted to heroin, and he just convinced him to try it one time, and one time was enough to take his life. It was the most unexpected thing in the world because my brother, he was such a good kid. He was such a good person that he was going to school to be a pediatric oncologist to help cure children with cancer. So it was one mistake that cost him his life. But it was literally through the loss of my brother that the entire trajectory of my life changed forever. The trajectory of my relationship with God, because in times of trauma, people either pull away from God or call on God, and I did the latter. And all God asks is for our yes. He doesn't ask for us to figure everything out, to heal from our trauma, to clean ourselves up before we come to him. He literally just heard me say yes. And that's when the Holy Spirit came rushing in. And all he wanted was to hear me say that. And that's what it took for him to change my entire life. So not only was it through the loss of my brother that I gave my life to the Lord, I started going on mission trips. I actually went to a university because I wanted to be a missionary, because I just was so ecstatic and so in love with Jesus that I could not fathom not telling the world about this God who met me in my ruins and brought redemption out of them. But it wasn't only that, but it actually, I saw my dad literally do a complete 180. He went from the angriest, most unkind, narcissistic person that you will ever meet in your entire life to genuinely the kindest and softest and gentlest man of God that fell in love with Jesus and allowed our relationship to be restored as well. So that took so much forgiveness. But I think supernaturally, in some way, the Lord just made it easy. It wasn't healing from the lasting effects of the abuse wasn't easy, but forgiving him was the easiest choice I've ever made in my life. Because growing up, I had so much more understanding of why my dad was the way that he was. He didn't want to be narcissistic. He didn't want to be abusive, but that's how his parents were and his parents' parents were. So he didn't know how to be any different until he finally, through the loss of my brother, also said yes to God. So not only did my life change, and not only did my dad's life change, but our relationship changed.
Our ad agency books sponsors weeks, months in advance. And it's always amazing to me when a sponsor lands so perfectly in an episode. And with Nadia's story of loss, it's another reminder that even though we don't want to think about it and we don't want to consider the possibility of loss, it's inevitable. And it's also, there's so much peace of mind. As a parent, we want to care for our kids and we want to make sure that they're set up if we are not around. And so with Trust and Will, the company, they will help you create an estate plan so your family is prepared and protected and you can manage your will or your trust online. Since each will or trust is state specific, it's great to have a tool like Trust and Will that you can customize to your needs. Who do you want to nominate as a guardian? What final arrangements do you want to have? Power of attorney, care, all of these things you don't want to think about, but I'm telling you, having walked through the loss of my own dad, it is super helpful that my dad was a lawyer and we had an estate plan. So ensure the same for your family and loved ones. Trust and Will makes it so simple. It makes it accessible and affordable. They have a step-by-step guide from start to finish. You will find it easier and it'll save your loved ones a lot of time and stress if you have all of these documents in one place with bank-level encryption. And they even have live customer support if you need help. They have an overall rating of excellent from thousands of five-star reviews on Trustpilot. Secure your assets and protect your loved ones with Trust and Will. And you will get 10% off plus free shipping of your estate plan documents by visiting trustandwill.com/DMA. That's 10% off and free shipping at trustandwill.com/DMA. Okay, I'm curious though, you talked about these for both of you, the loss of your brother was the turning point.
Yeah.
And you said, I said yes to God. Talk that through, like what did yes to God look like? You're in the car and you literally were praying in your mind, like, Lord, I don't know where else to turn. What did that look like? Were you sitting there and God came to you? Or you said the Holy Spirit came down, or was it an internal prayer that you prayed?
It was kind of both. It was a little bit, I felt the Holy Spirit physically because it's so hard to explain. But I obviously, if you're in the middle of processing a trauma, especially one that just happened, your body is also going to respond, not just your mind.
Yeah.
So my body was like, it just was under so much chaos. And as soon as I heard the Lord say, Nadia, it's going to be okay, it felt a physical washing from my head to my toe. Mm-hmm. It was like a cleansing, and so much peace just fell over me. Mm-hmm. And it was actually through the local church that I was able to get involved. And I saw they stepped in for us so much. They were there for us. They took me and my mom and my dad underneath their wing and just championed us through the loss. They were there every step of the way through planning the funeral, at the funeral, everything from the aftermath.
Their presence, like their physical presence and support.
Yes. I will never forget my youth pastor at the time sat me down and he said, "Nadia, I'm going to put Seth's death date in my calendar so I remember him until I'm old and gray." Mm. And I will never forget that because it meant the absolute world to me, because if you lose somebody, you don't want people to forget them.
Yeah.
You know, so it just meant the world to me that he thought to do that. And still every single year on his death anniversary, I get a text thinking of you, praying for you. How are you?
Yeah.
And that just meant the world to me to see the local church step up for me and my family.
Did your dad have a similar moment, or was it that church showing up for him that turned his heart back to God?
You know, I actually think it was through seeing how the local church, because we went to separate churches at the time. Mm-hmm. So seeing the way that the local church stepped up for me and my mom, and the way that I came home to my dad and was like, "Dad, they did this for us. They did this for us. They said this." Like, just seeing that secondhand healed so much in him.
Interesting.
Too. So I don't know if there was a certain moment in my dad's life, or if it was just like kind of a linear thing that over time he just saw the way my heart was transformed. The way my heart transformed his more than anything.
Which is so interesting. I had lots of guests come on and talk to parents about, like, how do you get your kids to follow Jesus? How do you get them to fall in love with Jesus? Yeah. And guest after guest says it's more about your walk parents, you know, that will influence than you focusing in on your kids. And I think it's so interesting that it was your transformation and your tuning into God's work in your life that then led to your dad's salvation. You know what I mean? Like, it's an intimate thing between our Savior and us. We can't do it for someone else.
Yeah.
But our actions do have ripple effects. And so the church's 100%. Obedience and showing up, like us as a body of believers, maybe you don't have the same trauma that Nadia does, but you could have been one of those people who said, "We see the hurt and the pain, and I want to show up." And that could be what you get from today's conversation, is showing up for people matters. It's not the big platform. It's not the how many followers do you have on TikTok. It's the I took them dinner. I made the phone call. I sat with a friend while she got chemo. Like, what is the little act of obedience that you're feeling the Spirit prompt you in today? And so I think that's a whole word in and of itself in your story.
Yeah.
So move us forward then. What else happened in your life?
So it was about 4 years after my brother had passed away that I said yes to the Lord to go to a missionary training university, because in Minneapolis, Minnesota, the best decision I've ever made in my life. It was so incredible. I was double majoring in Bible and theology and intercultural ministries, and I just was so in love with Jesus, and I was so in love with his word all day, every day. We were in Bible classes. We were in the prayer room. We were with community, and you would think over time you would get tired of it, but you just genuinely never do because there's just so much that the Lord has to offer. So the way that the university works is your first 2 years are spent on campus training to be a missionary. Your junior and senior year is spent overseas, hands-on as a missionary. And I was working my way up. I was working so hard, making sure I was getting all A's in all of my classes, until when I was about to enter into my junior year and about ready to go to the Republic of Georgia, I had got the news that my dad passed away.
Oh my goodness.
So you can imagine the shock there when I had all of these plans and I just was so excited to go somewhere where they don't have access to the gospel, or they don't have access to who the true Jesus really is. Mm-hmm. And I was so excited to be that for them. I was so excited to share the good news with these people that haven't heard it before.
Yeah.
And I was devastated, both that my dad had passed away, but I was grieving that I could no longer do this call that I thought God had on my life.
Mm-hmm.
So I ended up dropping out of college mm-hmm. at that time because it rocked my entire world. Yeah. I was not okay whatsoever. I talked a little bit earlier about how I struggled severely with self-harm. And that was because I was diagnosed with clinical depression when I was 13. I still had it at this point in my life. Mm-hmm. So having an addiction to self-harm as well as clinical depression with the person that is the most important to you in your entire life passing away, it's just, even though I was with Jesus all day, every day. I was in Bible classes all day, every day. It just still, we're still humans. You know, we still have broken brains, broken bodies. And I didn't lack faith. It wasn't something I just needed to pray about. It was a genuine psychological in your brain response that the depression was. So, and it was actually, it was loss after loss because it was literally just like a few days before my dad had passed away that my ex had broken up with me, who I thought I was going to marry. I thought he was it for me. I was so in love with him. We had rings picked out. We had everything picked out. And then he just suddenly broke up with me. And my dad was actually the first person that I called when he broke up with me. Mm-hmm. And it was such a full circle moment for me because my dad growing up was never, never an emotionally safe person for me to talk to. If I had ever confided in him with any of my emotions, it was always because narcissists lack so much empathy, you know? So it just was always, I just would get nothing in return. He just was not a safe space for me. So the fact that this was a specific ruin in my life that the Lord chose to redeem will mean the world to me forever, because the fact alone that my dad was the first person I called when my heart was broken because he was the safest person in my life. He went from being the unsafest to the safest. Yeah. And that's only the Lord.
Well, and then it happened like that, you had that experience just days before losing him. It's like the gift, even in the pain, even in the immense pain. Like I always talk to people about, we worry about hard things happening, right? Like we're trying so hard to prevent hard things from happening. But even in the hardest things, there is grace to walk through it.
Yeah.
You know, so and much. It doesn't take away the pain and it doesn't take away the grief or the loss or the gaping hole, but like the grace of a restored relationship, the grace of that picture of your dad being this safe person for you that you get to hold on to instead of the alternative, which is, and I know friends of mine that are working on repairing relationships with parents because of that fear of, I don't want their life to end and we haven't repaired this. And so just the hope that you give that that is possible.
Yes.
And it is possible through Christ. And yet, even with the repaired relationship, there's devastating grief.
Yeah.
There is clinical depression. There is, you know, heartache and hurt. And so how did, in the midst of that darkest part, what did God do to restore you to where you're sitting with me now?
Yeah.
You know, able to talk about it on the other side.
So after my dad had passed away, I moved in with my mom, who was in North Carolina. She moved to North Carolina after I moved to Minnesota. She lived in a one-bedroom apartment. So I slept on the floor.
Okay.
But my mom was also a super safe space for me.
Good.
Me and her are like this. She's my best friend. And she was the first person I thought of when, so actually what had happened is my ex broke up with me and I told my mom I need a break from college because, you know, it's this tiny university and I see him every single corner I take. And I was struggling so much with panic attacks. I was actually hospitalized after he broke up with me because I had a panic attack so severe. I genuinely thought I was dying. So I called my mom. I was like, Mom, can you please fly me down? I need some time just with you away. So it was so incredible how the Lord worked it out. So I was able to spend a couple of days just resting, enjoying time with my mom. And it was a couple of days after that that I got the news that my dad had passed away. Mm. So honestly, thank God my ex broke up with me when he did. Because I can't imagine if I got the news and I was at college away from my family, because my mom was right there, right next to me when I got the phone call. So I could not have imagined how that would have been for me if she wasn't there. So what happened after that was, it's such a unique experience, because I had such intense grief and depression and pain. But at the same time, that was when I was closest to the Lord. And it was that time that I was 22, and that right after my dad had passed away, that was the last time I attempted suicide. And I so vividly remember, and I will never forget, right before I did, I told the Lord, "Lord, if all you have in store for my life is pain, I want out." And I, even though I heard the Lord say, "Nadia," it was just like the most gentle whisper in the entire world, because we don't serve a God who yells. He said, "Nadia, there's so much more." But I didn't believe him, so I still tried to go through with it. But of course, he had so much more for my life. He wasn't done. He wasn't done with me yet. So after that, I actually had a friend come up and spend some time with me, and he was my absolute rock. And through my friend, I was able to have a safe space to process all of that. And that was when literally I didn't have a job at the time. I wasn't in school. I did nothing all day every day except be with the Lord, because BGU, being with God all day every day, equipped me for that moment that I needed to know.
So your university and like learning
how
to be with God equipped you for when you were
That was genuinely alone, when I was alone. And I used all of those
tools
and the things I learned. And it was so incredible, because the Lord spoke to me so much through visions, because that is just how I personally experience and hear the Lord the best, is through visions. And he gave me vision after vision after vision to cling to, one that I will never forget. And I can't even tell you the joy that it brings me even talking about it, because one thing about my dad is, yes, he was a narcissist. Yes, he was abusive, but he was also really sick. And then in the last few years of his life, he couldn't hardly walk at all. So seeing
that, sick, not like, like his body had a condition.
Many
conditions.
He was so weak and so frail. And he struggled to even walk a few steps. He had a walker. So that's why this vision just meant the absolute world to me. I was listening to a song by Christ for the Nations Worship called "Dancing on the Grave." And it goes, "I'm dancing on the grave that once held me bound. I'm dancing on the grave that's laying on the ground." And there's like a part of the song where it's just like super upbeat and super fun. And it was like, I was worshiping to that song. And it was in that part of the upbeat instrumental of the song that the Lord gave me a vision of my dad literally dancing. And it was the most like joyful dance I've ever seen in my life. And to see, I don't think I've ever really, my entire life, I don't think I've ever really seen my dad walk 100% well, because of his health issues with his blood disorder or his lungs. He just always struggled to walk. So
this wasn't like a vision that like something you'd seen in real life. That was then, this was something that is supernatural.
Never seen my dad dance. I've never seen him be able to use his legs in that way.
Wow.
So to know that that's where my dad is, he's with my brother, and he's dancing on his grave. He's worshiping Jesus like that. I can't even tell you the comfort that brings me. And my dad would always, always, always tell me and my brother growing up, "The one thing I want in life is to be with you and your brother in heaven." And that was his biggest prayer. And to know that the Lord answered that prayer through the loss of my brother, because thank God my brother gave his life to the Lord as a child.
Yeah.
So the one thing that meant the world to my dad is the answered prayer that the Lord answered through the loss of my brother.
tell you what, hanging around young 20-year-olds makes me feel young. I know it's not true, y'all. I did just have my birthday, but I am doing what I can to age gracefully. I've never had an issue with my hair until I'm getting older. And so I'm really thankful to get to partner with Vegamore to give me a consistent hair routine that is helping my hair be fuller, healthier, and thicker. If you've never heard of Vegamore, let me tell you about them. They are 100% cruelty-free, never formulated with any kind of potential harmful chemicals or like parabens or hormones. And the key to Vegamore is consistency. So I just kind of make it part of my routine. The days when I wash my hair, I add the hair growth serum in and just kind of massage it all around. They even give me a little massager I can use on my head. And I don't know, I do feel like my hair is getting thicker. I am seeing a difference. Now, another thing that can help you be consistent is they have a monthly subscription of Grow hair serum. So it's super easy. You sign up for the monthly subscription, you get a bottle or you can get three bottles, and you save more and you never run low on products when you subscribe. So Vegamore, fun fact, they sell one bottle of Grow hair serum every 15 seconds on their website. That's how good this stuff is. So elevate your hair wellness routine this year with Vegamore. For a limited time, get 20% off your first subscription by going to vegamore.com/DMA and use the code DMA at checkout. That's VEGAMOUR.com/DMA, code DMA to save 20% on your first order. VEGAMOUR.com/DMA, code DMA. So here you are spending time alone with God. Yeah. What's next? What else? What other good things did God have in store for you that you couldn't see at the time? Because so there's someone much. Sitting right now in that darkest place.
Yeah.
And it is hard to imagine there could be any good, that there could be any redemption. How can you bring redemption from this is often what we believe. Or God, do you even care? God, can you? Yeah. Are you capable? Like, we question his ability. We question his love, you know, and suffering.
I think what started it for me was knowing that God is not a God who is delighted in our grief, in our suffering, and in our loss. And even though my brother and dad had passed away, it was never in his original plan for death to ever happen. Right. It was never in his original plan when he was creating the earth for suffering and pain to ever happen. So he is a God of compassion. He is a God of empathy, not sympathy. He grieves alongside of us. So it was that, knowing that for me was everything, because I knew I served a God who understood the depths of my pain. And honestly, even more so than my pain, he understood.
Yeah.
So that to me was a God that is so worthy to serve.
Mm.
So after my dad had passed away, a couple months went by that I was just living with my mom, healing, spending literally all day with the Lord, that I actually got invited to a retreat in Tyler, Texas. And I have one of my best friends lives in Dallas, Kirby.
Yes.
It was Minnick at the time, but Kirby Kelly. She had me come and stay with her, and we just drove together to this event. And it was like my first ever Christian like influencer event. So I got connected with these incredible, incredible people who love the Lord, who are so biblically grounded.
Young people.
Solid.
Y'all, yes. Everyone's saying this next generation's problem. I'm telling you, it's We're good. Yeah. Okay. There's some great, amazing, I think a little bit better than what we've had in the past. I'm just saying. People.
You're so incredible.
Yeah.
So I actually met two girls there who were looking for a third roommate in Dallas, Texas. Okay. So, and I didn't have really a home at the time. Yes, I was living with my mom on her floor. But
it might be nice to live with some girls on a bed and have your own bed. Maybe. Yeah.
So I ultimately made the decision that I wasn't going to go back to college. So that's when I was like, okay, like practically I need somewhere to live. So I said yes. I felt like the Lord was calling me to move in with him to Dallas, and I said yes. And it was actually at that time that I was here for that influencer retreat. It was in February 2020.
Oh, we all know.
Yeah.
Okay. It's like it's about to drop. Okay.
Yeah. February 2020. And I was here visiting, and I had another friend who was Dallas based and is a DJ for Christian rappers.
So yes, I love me some ever since my Israel Collective trip. Yeah. I'm such a fan. Yes.
Yeah. So we were really close at the time, and he invited me out to the show that he was DJing. And this one guy was performing named Cadell. His real name is Elliot. Mm-hmm. And we all kind of just like hung out after the show. We all like got connected. And Elliot, I had no love interest whatsoever because I was still grieving the loss of my dad and my ex. So I wasn't interested romantically, but I knew he was going to be special to me. The way that just who he is as a person, if you ever have the privilege to meet my husband.
I have. He is pretty amazing.
If you ever have the privilege to meet Elliot, you know that he is so kind and so gentle. And that's something I needed so desperately in my life. So it was actually after this that I had met him that I had to go back to my university, pack up all of my things.
Oh, wow.
Everything that I owned was still in my little dorm. So, and when I was there is when we got the news that my university was shutting down because that's when COVID hit.
So you wouldn't have been able to go on this mission trip anyway.
No.
Honestly, I just thought of that.
Yeah, I
wouldn't. The timing would have been fall of 2020.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
It would have been. Yeah. So
even that dream would have
honestly
been lost.
Yeah.
Either way.
It would have been.
Yeah. Okay.
But the thing is, I already knew I was going to move to Dallas, but at that point, it wasn't until like a month later that I was planning on moving, so I had no time to prep. They were like, you need to be out like tomorrow.
Oh, shoot.
So I couldn't afford a plane ticket at the time. I didn't have a car. Trains were a nightmare to figure out. So I called Elliot, of all people, and I was like, hey, I'm supposed to be moving literally like in a couple days. Help. Like, what do I do? And he's like, okay, let me call you back in a minute. So he calls me back a minute later and he's like, hey, so I actually found a couple of my best friends who are willing to make the drive up from Dallas, Texas to Minneapolis, Minnesota, like a 36-hour drive back and forth to come pick you up, pack all your stuff and move you down here. And it was actually in that moment that I sat in the car next to Elliot in the back seat that the Lord told me, this is your future husband.
Oh my gosh.
And we were already kind of like talking a little bit, kind of feeling out if there's something romantically, and he liked me a lot.
I mean, all of us are like, obvious. He just drove all the way to Minneapolis.
I know.
Yes, I know. But sometimes especially if you're not in the place where you're looking for a person, you kind of miss the clues. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So my interest kind of wasn't back with him, but it was in that moment that the Lord told me that I actually rested my head on his. Aww. And I was like, I'm gonna marry you. Like, I know something you don't know.
Yeah. Yes, that's awesome. Oh my gosh. Ollie. Hilarious. Well, spoiler.
Yeah, so actually when I first moved here, as you can imagine, I still was struggling severely with clinical depression. My entire life was uprooted. I'm grieving the loss of my dad.
And then the world shuts down.
Yeah. And then I'm moving in with strangers who our roommate, we just ended up not
being a good match.
Yes. Okay. So it was just like thing after thing after thing after thing. So I came to Dallas already with so much grief and baggage and just so much that was actually one of, if not the darkest time of my life when I first moved here. And it was really soon after that I broke my 5 years clean of self-harm, and I struggled so severely with suicidal thoughts. And the depression was so severe right after I moved here that it was so hard for me to even get out of bed. I honestly, days went by that I would eat, showered. I could not bring myself to do anything. But Elliot, no matter what, no matter how intense and serious my depression was, he was always there. He literally did not leave my side. He didn't have a car at the time, so he would constantly Uber back and forth or figure out rides back and forth just to be with me. And knowing that, I felt so secure in who he was as a person, and he was everything. He was my safe person. And I remember when I first moved here, I loved Upper Room so, so much. I listened to Upper Room like all day, every day in college. So, of course, Upper Room is in Dallas. So I was like, I'm going to go to Upper Room. I'm going to get involved. So I would – that was the church that I went to for the first couple of years. And every time I went to the prayer room or went to church, I told God, God, I am not walking out of here until you heal me from depression. I wanted healing so, so bad. I wanted it more than – anything. And every single time for about a year and a half, I left feeling so much more discouraged than coming in because I was walking out still unhealed. And it wasn't until one Sunday evening that I told the Lord, okay, Lord, I don't care that I'm depressed. I don't care that I'm suffering. And it was in that moment that I realized I've been wanting the healing more than I've been wanting the healer.
Oh.
And it was literally in that moment that I said, Lord, I don't care. So I went to the back of the room and I danced before the Lord as if I was already healed. And it was literally in that moment that the Lord told me, Nadia, go get on your face before me. And I did. And as soon as I got on my face before the Lord, he showed me himself walking up to me and he got down on one knee. He placed his hand on my head and said, Nadia, depression isn't yours anymore. And he took his hand off of my head. And when he took his hand off of my head, I felt a physical difference in my brain. He literally healed me of depression in that moment. And I have not struggled with depression ever since. That was 3 years ago, not once. There have been times, time and time again, where I'll start to go there. I'll start to go into a deep place. I'll start to want to be depressed, because when you're depressed for...
It's like familiar. Yeah. That, what we said, that your neurological system wants familiar. Yeah.
But every single time I wanted to go there, the Lord said, nope. And he plucked me right out of it. And he just, in that moment, that's that when I realized I was making an idol out of the healing, is when he healed me.
And like you have said, and I know you say it in videos and you said it already in this, it's not that like with mental health, if you just had more faith.
Yeah.
Like that story might be like, oh, people would be like, oh gosh.
That's all I had was faith.
But like, it's your intimate relationship with Jesus and in his intimate way to work with you through your mental health.
Yeah.
This isn't like a one and done. Not everybody needs to go and confess that they're making an idol out of, you know what I mean? Like,
exactly.
There's not, it's not a formula even in our mental health struggles. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like there's not a formula of like, you should take medication. You shouldn't take medication. You should, you know what I mean? We all try to decide for other people.
Yes.
And so I love that, like, I love your testimony. I love that God is the healer. I love that he cares more about our souls than anything in our relationship with him.
And here's the thing too. God sometimes chooses to not heal people until heaven. Totally. He didn't choose to heal my dad until heaven. And it doesn't mean that
he loves him less or he can't.
It doesn't mean he has less compassion. It just means there's still such a massive purpose in the suffering and such a massive purpose in the grief and in the pain. Sorry, I'm trying to gather my thoughts. And we were at church 2 weeks ago and our pastor was even talking about, blessed are those who mourn, because not only are you actually blessed, but you are able to then be a blessing to others through
and blessing, he redefined what blessing was.
Yeah.
Like it's not necessarily what we kind of think, which is like good things or more stuff. Or it's like you get to experience God's will and desires. He had a wording for it. I wrote it down in my journal. But it's like you, by mourning, you are comforted in a unique way and you get to be the comforters. This is like a unique God-given assignment.
And here's the thing too. Suffering and faith can coexist.
Totally.
And I think that's something that not a lot of people have understanding of. That joy, that's the difference between happiness and joy. Is happiness, of course, it's an emotion. You feel it.
Circumstances.
But joy, it's not dependent on your circumstance. It's dependent on your God. And it doesn't mean that you're going to feel it. It doesn't mean you're going to feel joy. It means in God's presence, there is fullness of joy. So no matter what you're going through, you have access to that. And that's the difference, is has nothing to do with whether we feel it or not. Like that song, It Is Well With My Soul. It's exactly like that song. It's still, even though you're suffering and grieving and in the midst of the pain and brokenness, you still have access to joy because of what Jesus did on the cross for us.
Yeah. And we're on the other side. We're the redeemed.
Yeah.
This is coming out after Easter Sunday, Resurrection Day. And we are woven in. This is available to us and not just to super Christians.
Yeah.
That ruined redemption that's on your arm is available to everyone.
Everybody. Even my dad, who is the angriest, narcissistic, most abusive father that grieved the Holy Spirit so much. It was still available to him.
And how old was he when your brother passed? Because I know.
He was probably around like 57.
Yeah. See, this is the thing, y'all. And just to think, like, as a parent, you know, we have our own pain and hurt that comes out sideways in our kids, and we feel such guilt and shame. And I know on your dad's side, he left this earth knowing peace, like you said, that one, his prayers would be realized, that he will see you in heaven. And two, that his mess is not so broken to ruin you.
Yeah.
You know, there's so much as moms, we are like, oh my gosh, my kids are going to have to go to therapy for years. Maybe they will, but there's also God and he's working. And your dad didn't get to see the end of your story. He didn't get to see the man who would come into your life, Elliot, and who would take such good care of you in your darkest moment.
Yeah.
And then what? Tell us more about Elliot.
So that was actually one of the hardest things in the world for me to grasp. Is that I was so angry at God for so long that my dad got to meet my ex who treated me horribly, but he didn't get to meet the man that I know he would have loved so much. And I actually didn't marry Elliot for quite a long time because I just could not fathom walking down that aisle without my dad.
Mm.
And I just couldn't fathom marrying somebody that was going to be the father of my children someday. And my dad would never get to be a grandpa.
Mm.
And he would never get to see that. So that was excruciating for me. And that was actually, like I said earlier, the Lord spoke to me. Well, the Lord speaks to me in so many visions. So the Lord saw that. He saw that that was one of my biggest areas of grief and of mourning when it came to getting married, is walking down the aisle alone without my dad. So the Lord gave me a vision of me walking down the aisle to Elliot on the end of the aisle. And God, my father, was arm in arm with me, walking me down to my husband.
Mm.
And it was in that moment that I was like, I'm going to be okay. I'm going to marry this man. We're going to have a beautiful life together, a hard life. But it's going to be a beautiful life because he's such an incredible and gentle man of God. He is so opposite of any man that I've ever had in my life because he is so kind and so gentle. And he treats me so beautifully and is such a beautiful reflection of Jesus to me. So I married him 2 years ago.
Also, congratulations.
So that getting married in and of itself, from ruin to redemption, because my perception of marriage
from a three-year-old,
it was destroyed and especially completely obliterated when my ex broke up with me, because at that point I was like, I can't ever fathom getting my heart broken again, so I just can't put myself out there for another man. I could not fathom having a marriage that ended up like my parents. So that in and of itself is the Lord saying, this is a really deep ruin in your life, but it's not too deep for me to bring redemption out of. And we're breaking those generational sin patterns.
Yeah.
And we don't have children yet, but when we do, we're going to break that with our children. And I'm so excited for that day, to raise our children in the Lord and to be kind to our children and to be gentle with our children as much as a parent can be, you know, and I'm just so excited to break that, and knowing that it is not by my own strength that I'm capable of breaking these narcissistic patterns from my dad, but it's the Lord, the Lord who bestows that gentleness on me, and the Lord who I can trust with the times where I'm going to feel angry and I'm going to want to yell at my kids and I'm going to want to be unkind to my kids. But it's the Lord that I have to help me through breaking those generational sin patterns for my parents.
Yeah. And even if God can heal all the things, you know? Well, Nadia, it has been a treat to get to know you and hear your story and encourage people today. So thank you for being with me.
Thanks so
much. And we'll connect to you online in all of our show notes and just praying oodles of blessing over you as you continue to grow. Thanks, y'all, for joining me with this resurrection story, this redemption story. Nadia is precious, and I'm just praying for God to continue to work and move in her life as she heals and as they begin in the next few years starting their own family. I'm going to pray over us and our stories. Lord, oh man, I don't know that we fully grasp the gift of serving a resurrected God, the one where death does not mean defeat, and that we can dance on the grave, that you throw a party in front of our enemies, that you invite us to the table to feast, because you are the victor. The victory has been won. We live on the other side. There is no fear of death because of the eternal life promised through you, through belief in Jesus and the blood that was shed for us. Lord, I thank you for that truth. I pray for anyone whose heart is aching over brokenness in their own homes, currently in their homes of origin, with relationships with parents. I pray, Lord, that we would be a people, a church body that would serve one another. And through that service, Lord, it not be a checklist to become right with you, but out of an overflow of all you've done for us. And in that, the world would know who we serve. And just like Nadia's dad was drawn to the gospel because of the service of your church body for their family. Lord, open our eyes to see, where are you inviting us to be kingdom people serving a resurrected God? In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks, y'all, for joining me. It's April today, so yay, that means first Friday in April, another Sidetracked episode coming to you. Make sure you're subscribed so that pops in your inbox and you can laugh with us. And then next week, another encouraging interview with Sarah Haggerty. So I'll see you back here. Adios. Bye.
I hope you enjoyed this episode of the Don't Mom Alone podcast. If you're wanting to connect with more people and more resources to help remind you that you're not alone, head over to don'tmomalone.com. That's where you'll also find show notes with any links mentioned by our guests. Most importantly, I want you to know the good news, the great news that you're not alone because God has promised to always be with you. With faith in Jesus Christ, the one who died for you and rose again, Jesus said when he left, he was going to leave a helper, a comforter, to be with us. God in us. Moms, that's superpower. So while you're washing dishes at your kitchen sink, while you're driving to and from work, while you're feeding that baby late into the night, while you're cleaning sticky floors, God promises to be just as present with you as when you're worshiping in a church pew. As it says in Zephaniah 3:17, the Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He takes great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love, and he will rejoice over you with singing. Now that's good news. Have a great day.